Amen. I pray that you came expecting to receive some from the Lord. Amen. I've been teaching in 2 Thessalonians, and I felt like the Lord changed my topic this week and probably for the next couple of weeks. I'm not really for sure, but this week for sure. How many knows that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many knows that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament? How many knows that he was mean in the Old Testament, he's nice in the New Testament? That's not true, is it? God's always been good. If you want to know the temperament, if you want to know about God, you examine Jesus. According to Hebrews, he's the exact representation. I hear you learned a new language this week. Some of these ladies got wrecked at the Audacious Women's Conference. And I think next year, we probably need to take 20 or 30 to that thing. So, amen. But Jesus is the representation of God. So if you want to know, I think most people look at Jesus and say, oh, he's good. He's kind. He's gentle. He's loving. And sometimes we look at God and we think, ooh, he had a bad hair day that day, right? But he did not. But he is just. He is just. And he does judge sin. And so we're going to be studying that a little bit today. And so if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to read the first 16 verses. And the title of this is Faith Triumphs Over Fear. Faith triumphs over fear. And fear will hold you back from believing God. And I believe that God wants to do something in your life, not in First Baptist, not in TVCC, right here, Bridge of Hope Church, you sitting in the pew, God wants to touch you today. And so you're going to have to ask him to remove the fear of the unknown. And that holds us back many times, right? Well, I don't want to act strange. Well, I don't want people to see me. Listen, that's just a form of pride. You think everybody's looking at you when you lift your hands. Ain't nobody looking at you. Right? That's just the enemy trying to get you to be quiet and to stay back. But God is, I believe God is moving us forward today. Okay? So 1 Kings, that's the Old Testament, chapter 17. And it says, Elijah the Tishbite, he was from Tishbe, so that's what they called him, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, behold, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from that brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and he stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and the bread and meat in the evening he drank from the brook. And after a while, it happened that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him saying, now I want you to get up, arise, and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. And see, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get it, he called to her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and then die or starve to death after that. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. That selfish prophet, right? Man, could you see this if CNN got a hold of that right there? He said, give me some first. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up. Ooh, wasn't expecting that. Nor shall the jar of oil run dry till the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Dear Jesus, oh, we need you so badly. God, forgive us. Forgive us for thinking, God, that our provision comes from anything else but the hand of God. Forgive us for not understanding how much you love us, how much you care for us, how much you provide for us. God, I pray that our spirit would be open today to receive the miraculous, God, the word of the Lord that comes in love and power and might, and that you are raising up a bride of Christ in this hour, Lord, to show this world how powerful and loving you are. God, we have a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I pray that every person in this building today, Lord, would take an account of their life, and they would know that they know that they know that they're on their way to heaven before this service ends. But Lord, I pray also for those that need physical touches, God, emotional touches, God, let your hand not be limited in this service. Father, we bind any distraction, anything that the devil would throw at this service. Lord, I pray, put your guard of angels around this place. Don't let it in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I need to read just a couple of verses in the previous chapter, just two. Verse 30 says, now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. See, Israel at this point has been divided. It's two nations. There's the 10 tribes in the north, and that's called Israel. Their capital city is Samaria, and Ahab is the king over that. And then there's the southern kingdom, which is Judah and Benjamin. And they have more godly kings. They have some wicked kings also, but they more in line with the godly kings. Then look in verse 33. He says, and Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. The worship of God was at an all-time low in Israel right now because the most wicked king had got into office and he married the most wicked woman, Jezebel. And Jezebel was a worshiper of Baal. And so they begin to promote the worship of Baal. They begin to replace the worship of God with a false god. Now you need to understand this. Baal, some people say Baal, is a false god. He was known as the god of fertility and often referred to as the god of rain and dew. What did Elijah say? There will be no rain or dew on the land until I pronounce it, right? See, God was bringing judgment in Israel, but it wasn't just random judgment. It was judgment so that the people's eyes would be open. They would see that the God that they are being promoted to worship is not the true God. You don't listen to this. Don't listen to your leaders in this. They're saying that he is the God of rain and dew, and I'm going to show you when I say it's not going to rain, it's not going to rain. Now that judgment hit everybody, right? So what did Ahab do? He did what most people do. I don't believe that's the word of the Lord, but it sure makes me mad that you said it, right? Shoot the messenger. You know, if you have a friend that's ever came to you and said something like, you know, that outfit just doesn't look good on you. That's not flattering. Sometimes we just want to shoot the messenger, right? But in truth, we ought to say, thank you for telling me, right? Because you're a true friend. See, when you have a preacher that will tell you you're in sin, you can't live like this. You know, we have people come up and they're living together and they'll say, will you ask the Lord to bless us? No, I can't. I can't ask the Lord to bless what he does not endorse. Oh, come on. That's good preaching. Now, you're not going to hear that in every church. Right? Because we think we can live any way we want to live and ask God to bless it. He will not bless a sinful life. Thank God, though, he is just. So Elijah's name means Yahweh is my God. Yahweh is my God. And he's coming against Baal, which means the God of rain and dew. Who you think is going to win this thing? He said, there's not going to be any rain. So God says, okay, son, I need you to get out of Dodge for a little while. Let's you go down here by this brook and, there's a raven going to come and he's going to feed you twice a day. He's going to bring everything you need to sustain you and just drink out of that brook over there. And so every day, just like clockwork, come on, every day, just like clockwork, that raven flies in with provision for the day. Oh, some of us, we get so uptight when the bills start getting a little big, right? You know, if you are a tithe payer, you have a covenant with God. Your provision does not come from General Electric or Dana or commercial bank. Your provision is tied to Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm going to tell you, 90% is more than 100%. That's God's math. God's math doesn't make sense. And I'm not talking about tithing today. But I want you to understand your provision does not come from your job. If God has, you see, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God has to tell the birds of the air or the coyotes in the land, hey, bring them up a dead dog, right? bring them a deer because they need to eat this. I'm telling you, God can do it. But we get so uptight when things get tight. What is our first instinct when things get tight? Hoard. You better quit giving. The exact opposite is true. You see how Satan has touched our heads? He says, oh, it's getting tight. You better quit giving. But the Bible says the generous will be prospered. The generous will be refreshed. When you get tight in your finances, it's not the time to pull within. The time to give. Why? Because you understand who your provider is. Amen. So he tells him, I said, I want you to go down to Zarephath. That's the land of the Gentiles. And he says this, and you need to pick it up. I've commanded a widow to sustain you. Now, sometimes we read that story, and we see that Elijah goes to Zarephath. There he meets a widow when he walks in the town. And he throws out this little thing. Will you bring me some water? Now, what we don't understand, God's already spoke to this widow. The prophet is only a confirmation of what God has already put in her spirit. And yet there's a struggle within. Is there not? Is there not a struggle within you when God tells you to do something? Come on, folks. If you can't identify with this, something wrong with you. The Lord speaks to you today and says, give $1,000 in the offering. Now, let's see. Don't give $1,000 in the offering. Give $1,000 to Brother Jim because he's helping dig wells in Latin America. You need to help him out. Most of us would say, get thee behind me, Satan. That cannot be of God. When what's God trying to do? God's not just trying to take care of the people in Mexico or South America. God is trying to bless you. See, God wasn't just sending judgment on the earth. He was trying to show them, Baal is not the true God, I am. So you think he controls the weather? I'll show you. I'll put an end to him just like that. I'll shut his mouth. And yet most of us read this story and say, God is so mean. He's not mean. He's wonderful. He's trying to provide for his people. He's trying to show them there's a whole lot more things important than eating. Oh, until I'm talking to a Pentecostal church today. When I grew up, it was the only thing you could do and not sin. You couldn't do anything else but eat. He was the confirmation. Can I read a verse out of 2 Peter? It says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these things you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The devil says, have I got a plan for you? Let me show you the joy of life. And he takes you into darkness. He gets you addicted to things. He perverts your mind. He changes your heart. And he finally gets you to the point where you don't even think God is good if you even believe in God. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart there is no God. And what does the devil do? He tries to blind us that God is present. And so some people said, well, I know there's a God. I just don't think he has anything to do with us. How foolish. God has everything to do with us. You know, both the Elijah and the widow had to be obedient. Don't you know it took a lot of courage for Elijah to look at a widow who just had a little and said, give me a cake first. Go and make me a meal first. That was a big ask. Right? You know, most of us don't like to ask people for anything. And that blends over oftentimes to God. You know, sometimes we just exhaust ourselves trying to figure out our own solutions to problems. God is most of the time our last resource. Well, when you've done everything, you might want to pray. Boy, is that not backward, right? How about pray first? How about seek first? So he makes the ask. And she does just exactly the way we would do today. She makes an excuse. Now God's already spoke to her. She's already had this inner witness inside that there is a man coming to your city. And he is a man of God. Now this was not a Jewish woman. This was a Gentile. And he says, there's somebody coming and you're going to sustain him. And I'm sure she threw every excuse up to God. I've only got a little. And so she did the same thing to Elijah. And he just said, I understand you don't have much, but make mine first. That's rough. I know it doesn't look like you can pay your bills, but give to me first. I know that all of hell seems like it's breaking out against you today, but go to church anyway. Carrie Vine said something so incredibly wise to me this week. He called me on Tuesday because he was afraid the rapture had happened. He said, man, am I glad to hear your voice. And I think, man, you're keeping you're a little bit low on your level there. But he was talking to somebody. And he was asking him how long he'd went to this church. And he said, you know, he told how many years, basically from the, actually before the inception. And the guy said, man, that's when we were pretty messed up. You don't go to church when you're messed up. He did. He said, the one thing I knew, he said, even when I was messed up, I go to the place where I know that there's people that are not messed up and a God that can get me out of the mess. That's exactly the opposite of the theology and the thought process of today. You let someone go through difficult times today, and the very first thing they do is start skipping the house of God. I don't want to be over there. They're going to, what if your name comes out in the paper with a lie? So-and-so has done this. And it's not true, but you know everybody you went to church with has seen it. Now you don't want to go to church there anymore. You know, when someone gets divorced, you lose both couples, both people. I tell people all the time, we got a big church. You sit on one side, let her sit on the other. I am fine with that. I'm serious. I'm just fine with that. Because I don't think divorce is always the final thing. I've seen God oftentimes when people get their life right, that God puts it back together. And where's God going to put it back together? Most generally, right in the house of God. If you come with a hungry heart, you will meet him here. So let's go back to the story. Now, Elijah makes the ask. The woman makes the excuse, but she does it. He says, your oil will not run out. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. I got news for you, guys. The Holy Ghost will not run out. Do you realize that the bread and the wine, it's the same thing we take at communion. It's symbolic of the body and the blood of Christ, right? We're still drinking that because we're in covenant. I don't think that's coincidental. I think that was God saying, look forward, because this is what's going to matter to you in the future. And so she obeys. We don't know what kind of fight that was going on inside of her, but Elijah saw something. And he told her, you got to overcome the fear. See, before you're going to do anything for God, you got to quiet the voice that torments. The voice that tells you you can't. Do you know, I worked with seniors for 21 years. You know what the number one fear of senior citizens is? It's not sickness. It's not death. It's living longer than their finances. They're afraid they're going to live past what they have saved. Your finances don't keep you alive. It's the God in heaven who provides for us. Amen. So let me just take this fear away. If Social Security stops tomorrow, you're in good hands. And it's not Allstate. Amen. You're in the hand of, you understand that? Don't put your hope in Republicans or Democrats. Dear God, how desperate are we? My hope is in Christ and in Christ alone, right? So she does what he says. She goes home. She makes him a cake. I can see. Boy, I bet it's a tiny cake, but she makes him a cake and she brings it to him. Now, this was early on in this 3.5 year famine. And so for two and a half, she sustains him, not one time, every day. Every day she's going to, and I don't know how you see this in your mind, but I don't see that flour bin running over. I don't see the oil looking any more like than it did the first day. But every day she goes in and she pours out the oil that she needs. She dips in that probably that container that's making a lot of noise, rattling that spoon around. And she gets out what she needs for that day, makes those cakes, and every day God sustains her. God doesn't say, I'm going to make it running over. God says, there'll always be enough. God provided supernaturally for this woman and for the prophet of God and for her son. Now, I didn't read this whole thing, but even after this wonderful miracle, the widow's son dies, and she comes to the prophet. The greatest challenge of her life has happened. After years of supernatural provision, she still had a distorted view of God. Let's say 2.5 years God provides for her every day. And yet she did not comprehend who he was. Are you following me? When she goes to the prophet, she says this, "Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?" That sounds like a woman that does not know our God. The woman that God has supernaturally provided for comes with a distorted view. It's a view that most of the world has today, that God is a taker, not a giver. It's amazing to me how many people have been freed from drugs, been freed from a life of sin. God has broke off so many things, and we still don't see how good he is. We still think he's trying to take something from us. God's not a taker, he's a giver. He's a blesser. So she comes to him. "Have you come here to point out my sins? Does God hate me? Is God holding my past against me?" I'm sure there's many people in this room that would ask the same question. "Pastor, you don't know how wicked I've been." I don't, and I don't care to know. And God said he forgets it. The God who knows everything says, "I will remember your sin no more." It's a choice that he makes, right? So when you go before the, come on now, when you sin and the Lord says, "Come into my throne room," we come like this. "Oh dear God, don't hit me today. No lightning bolts, God." Why? Because we don't understand how much he loves us. We don't understand that when you sin and you say, "Jesus, I messed up again, forgive me." Gone! Woo! There's the blood of Christ. There's forgiveness. Hallelujah. You know, God is faithful to do that. He picks up that baby. That boy takes him in his arm, takes him upstairs to his room, lays him on the bed, lays out on top of this boy 3 times, persistent in faith. 3 times he prays for him and lays out on him. And the 3rd time, that young man come back to life. Life and death is in the power of his hands, not in the devil's hands, right? And so God gives life to this young boy. Elijah brings back this boy and presents it to the mother. And for the first time, her eyes was open. She said this, "Now I know that you are a man of God." Are you serious? You've missed this for 2.5 years? Yeah, she missed it. And she's no different than you. See, God does. And still we come to the throne like, "Are you mad at me?" He's not mad at you. God loves you. Are you getting this? It's the devil that makes you think that God is against you, not for you. God loves you. Mark Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, have faith in God. Don't you know he'd tell us the same thing? Have faith. Have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, you can say to that problem, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubts in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone. Oh, that's a biggie. If you come to the throne, you're going to have to ask, you're going to have to ask him to help you forgive others. If you're holding a grudge against someone, your Father in heaven, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins also. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Don't you love that verse? God's on your side. I love that verse, but it's not as good as the next one. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What do you need today? What do you need today? Are you embarrassed to ask him? Is fear saying, don't ask God for that? God doesn't care about those things in your life. I don't think there's anything that God doesn't care about in your life. I have prayed for dogs and watched dogs get healed. Oh, that went over like a lead balloon. I'm talking about four-legged ones, the kind that bark. Right? I'm not talking about people. I'm telling you, God cares about what you care about. We have not because we ask not. Or we ask amiss. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon yesterday, I felt like the Lord said, there's a lot of widows of Zarephath in the room. People that he has been providing for some time until the greatest challenge of your life comes. And then you said, did you come just to remind me of my sin? Do you see that disconnect? There are many people in this room, you've seen the hand of God. You know he's real. He has forgiven you. He has freed you from a life. But maybe you're up against a challenge that you think, I just don't know. I don't know if he can or if he will. There is nothing impossible with God. If you can believe for it, if you will ask, he will give you what you desire. If he abides in you and his word is in you, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. Guys, I'm telling you, let's say it this way. There is no ceiling. God's removed the ceiling. Let's ask God. Amen. I've purposely shortened this sermon quite a bit because I felt like the Lord wanted us to open the altars up again for people that are believing God for a miracle. What is it that challenges you in life that you said, I just don't know? Well, let's come back together and let's say God can and God will. Isaiah 41, you know there's 365 verses in the Bible that says fear not or don't be afraid. God is addressing the fear factor in our life for every day of the year. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is not you. Perfect love is Jesus. Jesus, he's the only perfect love, right? Perfect love. Jesus cast out all fear. I think maybe that's the first prayer we ought to pray today, is just to cast out fear out of this room. Perfect love, cast out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. But whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Psalms 34 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Father God, I pray right now that fear would leave this room, that it would leave every one of our thoughts and our minds. And God, we would be free to think the thoughts of God right now. And in the name of Jesus, we demand that fear leaves. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? Do you need a miracle today? Is there something that seems impossible in your life? Is there something that may seem improbable? Just doesn't seem like God can do this for you. I challenge you, make me a cake first. Make me a cake first. Come on, would you put God first? Will you ask the Lord, thank you, Brother Dave. Will you say, God, I'm seeking you first. I'm not going to let anything, I'm not going to let what I would call reason stand in my way. Come on, you can come. Come on, if you need a miracle of God, you need to be up here. You know, God does more than physical miracles. You know that, right? You see, God is the God that's able to reach your son and daughter that's not living for him. He's able to touch the prodigal today. God is able to restore the brokenness in your life. God can put you back together. Let me say this. God can restore your joy today. In a moment's notice like that. You may think the best days are behind me, and God says that is not true. Every day is going to be a good day with me. If you'll serve me, the best is yet to come. What if we are alive when the trumpet sounds? I tell you, that's a good day. That's going to be a wonderful day. But until that day happens, let's win every soul we can. Let's see heaven get expanded. Amen. Is this it? This is it. Everybody sitting in your pew, everybody standing in your pew says, I don't need God to do anything for me. I'm good. I don't need anything. That's what I see. That's what I see. If you're not down here, you're saying, God, I'm good. I'm going to tell you, I'm not good. I need the Lord to move. I want to see heaven open. I want to see the glory of God poured out. I want to see a revival like I've never seen a revival before. I want to see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost where it's not strange, but it's powerful in Jesus' name. Now I want you to just lay hands on somebody that's by you, because you're not just going to pray for yourself. You're going to pray for other people. Come on down. Come a little closer. I don't bite. Come a little closer. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you've never said yes to Jesus, we got to start there. We got to start with a prayer of repentance. We got to say, you need to say this from your heart. Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner, but I need a Savior. I believe that you are the living God. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you took my sins upon the cross, and you have given us the righteousness of God. I accept you as my Lord and Savior today. And I pray, God, change my life. I want to be obedient to you for the rest of my life. I want to serve you. If you prayed anything like that today, God accepts you into his kingdom. Now we're going to pray that God touches what you're believing for. Father God, come on, let's everybody pray. Father God, we come before you today. There's many needs in the house. God, we know that you are a supernatural, miracle-working God. Lord, there's many, many things, Lord, that we believe that you can do, and there's nothing that you can't do, God. Nothing is impossible with God. Your hand is not short. Your love is not short. Father, we come before you because we believe that you're good. We believe that you're able. We believe that you're willing, God. You are the healer, Jehovah Rapha. You're the restorer, God. You're the one that provides for us, God. There is no need, God, that we have that you cannot take care of. God, I speak to the mountain right now. I speak to the mountain of debt. I speak to the mountain of sickness. I speak to the mountain of brokenness, of divorce, of all these things. I speak to that mountain and I say, be cast into the sea. I will not deal with you any longer. I call my sons saved in Jesus' name. I call my daughters back into the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, let the seed of God that they received when they were little kids, let that seed come back to life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. Come on, thank you, the Lord. Thank the Lord for answered prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Autistic children are healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cancer is gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my body is your body. And I seek first your kingdom. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I recognize that you are good and you are my Father. I hallow your name. I declare that you are holy, that you have no rival, you have no equal. Lord, there is not a God in the land anywhere that can stand to you. There is none like you. We humble ourselves right now to seek your face. God, touch your people. Touch your people. Let's sing this, Treva.
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
Sing it again.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper,
light.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never.
Come on again.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
Say it again.
Never stop.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Waymaker, miracle.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me give you a word. Then you can come on up. Satan's going to come to you immediately. And he's going to say, boy, did you work yourself up into an emotional fit today. That ain't emotions. This is not emotions. This is knowing the love of God. And don't let the devil tell you, you're not getting anything. And don't believe your eyes. Because your eyes are going to say, well, I prayed for that, and it's no better. God is working. Let's believe God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I may not see a thing, but I'm going to believe God. Wouldn't you rather go to heaven believing God than any other way? Amen. Amen. Brother Denny. Oh, you're behind me. God bless you, folks.
Every time the enemy comes up to give you that seed of doubt, just say, God is faithful. That's all you got to say. God is faithful. Those three words. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.